Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Ghost Box Origin Story, a conversation with Bruce Halliday. Before there was widespread ghost hunting, there was Bruce Halliday, a little boy who witnessed the spirit of a deceased family friend wandering the halls of his family's apartment building in Brooklyn, New York. This single experience would later inspire Bruce to question and dig deeper into the concept of being able to not only see the dead, but to communicate with them as well. Several decades of research later, Bruce has been one of the key players in developing and perfecting the practice of what is today known as the ghost box. How did he get there? And what power does the ghost box hold? That's what we discussed today on The Grave Talks.
Well, actually, I had an incident that happened to me when I was a kid. And I come from a very old-fashioned Italian family. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Brooklyn. And my grandmother and grandfather owned a six-family apartment building. And it was all family. You know, each apartment was either uncles or cousins, whatever. And I must have been about maybe 8 or 9 years old. And the kids used to play in the hallways. You know, it was three floors, three stories. And we used to, you know, play in the hallways. We used to run up and down the stairs. And you know what kids do.
Yeah.
So I was on the bottom floor one day in the hallway. And I was about to go upstairs to my grandmother's apartment, which was on the second floor. And I started to go up the stairs, and when I looked up, there was a real old gentleman standing at the top of the stairs. And he just stood there, and he looked at me. I didn't recognize him, but, you know, we always had, like, you know, my uncles, my grandfather, you know, neighbors were always coming and going, and, you know how it is. So I paid no attention to it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got to the top of the stairs. It wasn't like where I was a little kid, so I didn't have to, like, excuse me and squeeze around this gentleman or whatever. But, you know, I mean, I basically just ran up the stairs halfway paying attention and just ran by him. When I passed him, I heard him say, "Mr. Giuseppe." Mm-hmm. Right? So I go into my grandmother's apartment, and my grandmother always had, like, something cooking or something on the table or whatever. And, you know, I ran over and I started, you know, I guess picking on whatever was around and, you know, just being a kid. And I had said to my grandmother, I said, you know, the man that was in the hallway, was he here to see Grandpa? So she said, you know, she spoke broken English, my grandma. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, you know, she says, I don't know what man. So I said, there was a man in the hallway. So she went outside. She called my uncle upstairs. My uncle came down. He looked around the whole house, around the whole hallway, you know. And he said, no, there's nobody around, you know. So she said to me, well, you know, well, who did you know him? I said, no. So she says, what did he look like? So I explained, you know, I described him to her. And she said, well, did you talk to him? I said, no. But when I was going by him, he said, Mr. Giuseppe. And her face just dropped, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, I didn't pursue it after that. I didn't, you know, as being a kid, it just went in, you know, in one part of my brain and out the other.
Sure.
But years later, I had asked, my grandma passed away, and the subject came up, I guess, at a dinner table or whatever. And I told the story at a dinner table, and my mother was there. And my mother said, you know, you were a kid at the time. We didn't want to scare you. She said, but when your grandmother mentioned it to me, you know, told me about it, she said that the person you described and the individual's name was the gentleman that they bought the house, the building from, like 30 years before, and he had been dead for about 20 years. So that, you know, I kind of, at the time, I kind of brushed it off. I was maybe in my mid-20s, and, you know, I wasn't, you know, at that time, there was nothing, you know, we never knew anything about the paranormal. You knew what a ghost was, you knew what to get, but we never really got into that stuff. We weren't subject to it. We weren't around it. You know, there was no information out, no internet at that time. There was nothing out there, you know, that you could, and nobody in Brooklyn was a paranormal investigator at that time, back in the early 80s, late 70s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of brushed it off. And then later on in life, you know, and what happened was around 19, it had to be around close to 2000, like maybe 98, 99, around there, maybe 2000, you know, I had stumbled across the movie White Noise. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Sure.
So I watched the movie, and I said, wow, I said, that's really cool. And at the end of the movie, somebody came on, like there was like a little excerpt at the end of the movie where somebody came on, and they told about how to do an EVP with a recorder, with a tape recorder. So at the time, there was no, you know, we just had the regular cassette recorders. We had no digital recorders or anything like that. So I happened to have a tape recorder. So what I did was, I said, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see if there's anything to this. And I took the tape recorder and I put it in my bedroom and I turned it on and I left the house. And I came back maybe about an hour and a half later, and I listened to the tape. And my bedroom door was constantly, I mean, I never closed it. It was like, yeah, I didn't have to close it. I was the only one in the apartment. Nobody was in there. I never had to close the bedroom. I don't think I ever closed it. But when I put the tape recorder on to cut down on any ambient noise or whatever, I had closed the door. Right? And on the tape, maybe 10 minutes into the recording, a voice, a low, wispy voice says, does he want this open? So when I heard that, I mean, I just froze.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think I wanted to chuck the tape recorder out the window. That's how nervous I got, you know, and that hooked me. That's what got me started into, you know, starting to do, you know, some research into the paranormal and what it was all about and what EVP was all about. And you know, that's what got the ball rolling.
A lot to unpack there, and I want to get into how things evolved after that, but a few questions about what you just talked about. Yeah. What was your family's reaction to knowing that this apartment that everyone was in was haunted? When you were able to come back and revisit that conversation of you know, your family filling in, going, that guy died all those years ago. And when you kind of started to get more into this and you started talking to them about that experience, did others have stories too that you were unaware of seeing individuals in this building that, or experiences that were unexplained?
Well, after I had brought it up, I mean, it was pretty much at the time brushed off. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with old school Italians. They're very superstitious, but you're not supposed to talk about it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I mean, I had a couple of uncles that, you know, we would be sitting around, you know, having a glass of wine or whatever, and you know, something would come up, we'd be telling stories or whatever the case may be, however it came up. And you know, I had a couple of uncles that said, you know, that they saw some things or heard some things, you know, either in the basement or you know, in the upper floors of the building and stuff like that. But they just, you know, never thought anything about it. They thought it was kind of weird, but just didn't pay really any attention to it, because, like I said, that wasn't a mindset at that time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, I was pretty much, and if I brought it up, you know, it was pretty much, you know, said, you know, yo, don't be crazy. There's no such thing as ghosts. What are you talking about? And, you know, and that's it. That's how it was treated, you know, at the time in my family and friend circle at that time.
Sure.
Because, like I said, nobody was privy to any paranormal information at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never got any paranormal information. I mean, you know, there was nothing out there, nobody out there doing it at the time. There was no, you know, no television shows like Ghost Hunters or anything, and nobody had any clue about anything. So when you brought it up, You know, in Italian, they would say, like, he's some bots. You know, this guy's a little nutty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of shied away from you know, expressing, you know, my thoughts and feelings at the time to, you know, to the people around me, because they didn't receive it, you know, in an open-minded way.
Sure. I mean, and if it's something that you don't really have an answer to, I mean, how do you answer that either? You know, I mean, it's easier, especially if it's a child, just to be like, no, it's nothing, you know, and if right. if it's not ongoing just every now and then, you know, okay, right, let's right, pass this right. on.
Yeah, it's your imagination, yeah. You know, yeah, like that.
So when you had the experience, you had the tape recorder, and you hear, does he want this closed? I know you told me your reaction there to that, but what else did you begin to try and figure out, how can I talk to this more? Did you try and figure out, like, where did you go?
That opened the floodgates right there. That, you know, after I got over the initial shock and you know, gathered my intestinal fortitude to go back and try it again, I mean, it got to the point where I was doing EVP recordings, like, you know, I mean, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Individual recordings, you know, in different places. I found myself taking the tape recorder, like, you know, now I would go out, and I knew nothing about paranormal investigation. I didn't even know there was such a thing. But I found myself taking the tape recorder with me and going to, like, cemeteries and, you know, going to places like old buildings in the neighborhood that were, like, you know, 100-year-old buildings, and, you know, sitting in the car outside the building and doing an EVP session. And, you know, I mean, I got some interesting stuff, but it really didn't get going until later on, like, till I had moved out of, I got married, I moved out of Brooklyn, and I moved to New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And once I got to New Jersey, I had a finished basement in my home in New Jersey, and I made one room in the finished basement, like, it was like a research room that mm-hmm. was just for my EVP and for any paranormal stuff that I was doing. So I really started to seriously get into it at that point.
When it comes to gathering an EVP, are the odds going to be in your favor if it's an older building or a cemetery or something that you would consider to be more likely to have more energy or more activity that had taken place there at one time versus, you know, a brand new tract home on a new subdivision?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. That's the frame of mind that we have. I mean, normally, you know, the train of thought that mm-hmm. that we follow is that the older the building, the more circumstances and more incidents and more energy the building has absorbed,
mm-hmm.
Would lead it to have more activity than, say, a new house that was just built.
Yeah.
There are two different types of activity that you can pick up. You can pick up direct activity that can come from an entity that is either grounded in visitation or stuck at that location, or it can be come from residual spiritual energy that the actual building itself has absorbed
mm-hmm.
and just continues to play over and over again, and that manifests itself in energy that can be picked up as an EVP. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, a lot of different scenarios you can come across, but I believe that you have more of a chance to get something at a seasoned location,
sure,
as opposed to a brand new location.
Yeah,
but it's possible anywhere. I mean, I did an experiment at one point where I took a digital recorder. I put it in a coffee can. I put the lid on the coffee can. I duct taped the whole coffee can, and I buried it 2 feet underground and okay. left the recorder running.
Yeah.
For as long, I left it overnight, and it ran until the battery ran out. And I got, you know, quite a few EVPs.
Really?
In that recorder.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. What did you pick up? Was it audible enough to make out what the words were on that one? Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
You have 5 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.